Yes, he's coming back. But now is the time of mercy, isn't it? It's the time of mercy. It's the time of mercy. He's a merciful king. He's a merciful Messiah. He holds nothing against us. He's love incarnate. He's mercy. He's mercy. He wants to give mercy to his church. For the church in Boston, these days could be the greatest days of the church in Boston's lives if we as God's people would get on our faces and say to the Lord, we have sinned against you, we have deposed you, we have placed other things ahead of you, we have placed the church ahead of Jesus Christ. That's true. I belong to the church, but the church is only the mystical body. It is not the head. Have you ever seen a body without a head running around a barnyard as a chicken? That's the church. In 2004, we don't check in with the head. So what are we doing? We're like chickens without heads, going round and round. And soon we're going to drop. When Jesus is saying, I'm mercy incarnate, I love you, I will kiss away your sins. Will you just come to me and tell me you know nothing and that you want me to teach you again as a people? Will you just come to me and let me love you and let me hold you and let me show you the things that really matter? Will you just come to me and let me pour out upon you this mercy that I am? Will you just come to me and stop being like the harlot of Hosea, playing around with other men? Because we're the bride. You must always know that the church will always be the chaste virgin as well as the prostitute. That's our nature. We always are looking for somebody else but Jesus. Why do you think all these things are happening in the church? Because God wants to bring his bride to her face. Not because he wants us to be put our face into the shame, but so that we might know that he is our Savior, our Lord, our bridegroom. Our worth comes from Jesus, not from our buildings, not from our collars, not from our education, not from our credentials. My worth comes from Jesus. Your worth comes from Jesus. Do you not know that he is the Prince of Peace and that you are worth much more than any diminishable price of silver or gold? You are worth the very precious blood of the Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. Do you not know that? The world does not know that. And for the most part, the church does not know that. Because we're all into the confusion of what is the Globe saying and what is the Herald saying and what is the Springfield Times saying. I don't care what they're saying. They don't bother me. I care what the Father is saying. I care what Jesus is saying. I care what the Holy Ghost is saying. I don't care about the world. I don't belong to the world. I'm in it, but not of it. I cashed in my world bonds a long time ago. I belong to another kingdom. It's the kingdom, not of thingdom, but it's the kingdom of God. And it's an unshakable kingdom with unshakable promises and an unshakable king who's still on the throne and hears and answers prayer, and he hasn't abdicated the throne. You must know that. It's a time of mercy. But St. Paul, as well as Faustina, and all of the saints have told us, the mercy will one day end. And then we will be under judgment. I believe we are coming to the end of that mercy. But I believe that before we come an end to the mercy, that God wants to lavishly pour it out upon the earth so that before Jesus comes in glory, he'll have a bride that's ready for him, decked out with white robes. Not a bride that's perfect, because you know what? He alone is perfect, but a bride that can be perfect in love. I cannot be perfect, but I can be perfect in love by his grace. I'm not telling you I am. I'm telling you I can be. The time of mercy. We'll sing, mercy is falling all over, all over. Mercy is falling like the pure spring rain. It really is. It really is. That means the drug addict comes to me and starts to tell me all the crap that they've been in their life. I can pray with them for mercy. You want to know what? They go to heaven. The drug addicts go to heaven ahead of the church. Believe me. I pray with drug addicts and I've seen them go to heaven. I've seen them see Jesus in heaven. I've never seen Jesus other than in your face and in mine. But I've seen the drug addicts go to Jesus in heaven. I've seen heaven open up while I prayed for drug addicts. I've seen heaven open up when I prayed for people who are on their way to jail. I've seen God show himself to these people who are in absolute that we would consider to be the worst of the worst. But they're no worse than I am or you. If we've got anything, it's by grace and because God has had mercy on us. Just the other day, we were in Salem, Massachusetts. Very interesting, okay? You don't want to come around with me because you might get embarrassed. So we're in Salem, Massachusetts, and I'm with this young seminarian, you know, and all of a sudden we go into this store and I start singing, oh, the blood of Jesus. Well, they got all this witch stuff all around me, you know. I just want to be covered with the blood. So there's this guy who's on a bicycle. He hears me, and he's coming toward me, and I think he either hates me or he loves me. I couldn't discern. So he's coming toward me now. And he starts talking to me. He said, are you a Christian? I said, I'm a Christian. He said, I'm a Christian too. And I start talking to him. I said, where do you go to church? He told me. And all of a sudden, he's falling asleep. And I realize he's as drunk as a skunk. And so I ask him his name. He tells me his name. He's on a bicycle. I say to him, you can't be on that bicycle because you're going to fall on your face and you're going to get hurt. You're drunk, and he starts crying, and he's got all this shame, and I'm saying, listen, I'm not saying this to make you shamed. I'm saying this because Jesus loves you, and I love you, and I don't want to see you get hurt. That's all. I said, tonight, you've got to go to bed, go home, go to bed, and go to a meeting. That's what you need to do tonight. You've got to go home, go to bed, and then go to a meeting. That's what you need to do tonight. But you don't need to be driving your bicycle. You don't need to be riding your bicycle because you're going to fall on your face. Now he's hugging us and he's holding us and he's kissing us and he's saying, oh, you have no idea. And I said, I don't even want to have an idea what this poor bum has gone through. Only God knows what this poor guy has gone through, okay? Only God knows. So I'm not going to be pointing at him thinking that I'm a little better than he is. Because probably if I went through what he went through, I'd be far worse. So he starts saying these things, and we start listening, and we start praying. And he said, I couldn't go to my church. They wouldn't accept me like this. You people have accepted me. And I'm thinking, if he came into the 11 o'clock mass, we'd probably throw him out too. It's true. That's true. Rather than say, you know who just walked in? Jesus. Disguised, drunk as a skunk. That's Jesus. Let's prepare something for him. Let's let him know we love him in his garbage. If the church was like that, honey, we would have changed the world 1,500 years ago. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late to start loving people and accepting people, not being their savior. You cannot save anybody. That's why we need Jesus. But he makes the difference. And if he makes the difference in your life and there's mercy being extended to you, then who are you to hold mercy back from anybody? The world does not know of a merciful Jesus. The church does not know of a merciful Jesus. But that's who he is now. Oh, he will come in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. And he will come and he will separate the chaff from the wheat. And he will come separating the sheep from the goats. No doubt. But now's the time for the prodigal children to come in. The Jew first and then the Gentile. See, I just happen to believe this stuff. It's all real. Now is the time to see lives changed. I'm looking for young men that want to give their lives totally to Jesus Christ. I'm looking for young men that want to devote time and form a brotherhood, maybe someday with the bishop's permission in order. To go out and preach and to teach and to heal and to be on radio and to be on television and to pray hours before the Eucharist. I'm looking for people. I'm looking. I can't bring them. God can bring them. But you see, the world's in need. We can't do this on our own. Because one of these days, I'm going to be kicking off. I don't know when, thank God. But all of us, if Jesus doesn't come, we're kicking off. Who's going to be behind us? That's an important question. Who's going to be behind me after I kick off into glory? Or is it going to be, Mother Teresa, give me a break. Stop enthroning Mother Teresa. Start acting like her. Padre Pio, give me a break. Start living like them. Start fasting. Start praying. Don Bosco. Give me a break. You're a Salesian. You've got his charism. Why don't you just take it? It'll lead you to the gallows, but take it anyway. See, we love to enthrone the saints. We don't like tying the bell around the cat's neck. We like to say, Mother Teresa. We don't like to say, I'm going to take in that bum in my house. They're going to die like human beings in my house. That's what Mother Teresa did. I know a family. Listen to this. This is really true. You're not going to believe me, but it's true anyway. One day, they would go to church, and they're seeing this husband and wife. They were eating out of barrels. Husband and wife eating out of barrels. They had no children, this couple. They said to the husband and wife, you know, there's no need of you eating out of barrels. Why don't you come and live with us? And so they came. They're a quiet little couple, and they would be fed every single day, and the wife would help them, and, you know, things would go along. They were like a little family. All of a sudden, the wife kicks off. She dies. Boom! And the husband says to the family, this husband and wife, when I die, will you give me the same kind of funeral you gave my wife? They took her to the funeral home. They took her to the church. They gave her a decent burial. Oh, they said, of course we will. But you don't have to be thinking about dying. 2 weeks later, he kicked the bucket too. All right? Story's over. Oh, no. A year to the day, they got a letter from a lawyer. Like it was like, this was like in the 40s when $1 million was $1 million. $35 million or 25, something ungodly. With all this property was left to them. They said, this is crazy. This is a joke. Honey, it's not a joke. It's got to be a joke. It's not a joke. They left you. They left us nothing. They left you everything. Why? I'll tell you why. Because maybe when they were outside in the world, people would be good to them because they were rich. They found a couple that loved them. This couple didn't know they had a penny. The couple did it out of Christian charity. This couple of friends, relatives of Jack Benoit. I'm not telling you a story. This is real. That love, they didn't do it for money. They did it because Jesus made a difference in their lives. They loved Jesus. I remember Jack talking to his aunt on the phone all about Jesus. She loved Jesus, a little girl like this. She loved Jesus. So why did they do that? Out of love for Jesus. Now, I'm not telling you, you take care of people like that, you're going to get $1 million. Not on the earth, but in heaven. And only the people that God leads you to do that for. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry. You don't want to be stupid. You've got to be discerning. But who will do what only the Christian will do to make a difference, whether they be converted or not converted? Maria says, we're being thrown out of this place. It's called Genesis House. It's run by the church. But the church doesn't know anything about what to do with these poor people, AIDS victims. They're closing now because, I guess, lack of funds. But these people, my friends go in every week, you know, and they do Bible study and they do all this kind of stuff. They bring food, I would imagine, you know, and they've grown to be very fond of these people. There's one person, I don't remember his name, it's a funny name, and he goes to everything she runs, and at the end he'll look at her and say, Maria, you spoke well, but I don't believe one word you said. And she said, well, that's all right. Still love you. And now they're moving. And these people are going to be scattered. And the man said, Maria, will you come to visit me? She said, of course I'll come to visit you. That's Jesus! She can't put in her holster another mark for Jesus. But this is a poor guy. Who has not been loved. She said, if you only knew what he's been through. Only God knows. But she's not only out to convert him, she wants to convert him. Why? Because she wants to know another person for Jesus? No, because she doesn't want to see him go to hell. But she'll love him until the last moment. I thought that's what it's supposed to be all about. That's what I thought. Unless I'm stupid. I thought the church is to care for her own poor, not the welfare system. Do you know welfare gives 22% to the poor and 78% to the fat cats, the bureaucracy? Do you know that? Well, they do. 22% for the poor and 78% for the bureaucrats. Isn't that wonderful? Imagine if the church took care of her own. Say to the government, I don't need Caesar to take care of my poor. They're privileged. We're all kissing the government. I don't want anything from the government. I want to give. I don't want to receive. Government doesn't know how to convert people. We've given it all up. It's time to reclaim our inheritance in Jesus, that he makes a difference, that he changes lives, that mercy is for everybody, that he's no respecter of poor or rich, that we're all a bunch of poor bums in need of Jesus the Messiah. There's nobody different. We're all a bunch of poor bums. Some poor bums drink. Other poor bums are philanderers. Other poor bums light candles. But we're all in absolute need of Jesus. Nobody worse than you. Nobody better than you. And he's offering you everything. You can either take it or leave it. It's totally up to you. He's offering me everything. It's time to come under the blood, and it's time to give him our lives. It's time not to recount what God did in 1968, my friends, because I'm telling you, there are many more things that Jesus did where they all recorded. All the books in the world could not contain them. I don't want to think about what he did in 68. I want to think about what he's going to do today. I want to think about what he's going to do tomorrow. I want to think about the lives he's going to change this week. I don't want to look back to that, because those were just the beginning days. I want to see him do bigger things, better things, holier things, more awesome things. I don't know if that's what you want, but that's what I want. I'm going to tell you, it's very important that you find people that will worship God with you, that will praise God with you, that will stamp their feet with you, that will get a little pot and a little spoon and start dancing around. It's very important that you find people. I'm telling you, it's also very important that you go before the Blessed Sacrament and that you sit before Jesus, no matter whether he says anything or he says nothing, that you go and you be persistent. And you're going to tell you, I'm going to tell you, when you're in the sun, you've got to get a tan. You've got to get a tan. When you're in the presence of the light that came into the world, and that light no darkness can overcome, something's got to happen to you. It's got to happen whether you feel it or not. It's got to happen because it's Jesus. It's got to happen. I'm telling you, you need each other. You need people that are going to pray with you. You need people that are going to pray with you. You need people that are going to reinforce you. You can't do it alone. We live in a world that's anti-Christ. Don't you know it? We live in a world that hates Jesus. I can talk about anybody else. I can't talk about Jesus. I tell the world, my higher power is that light. They say, ooh, isn't he cool? I say, Jesus is my Savior. He's a fanatic. You've got this drug addict. They've been on drugs all their life. Jesus comes into their life, makes a difference. What begins to happen? Now they're into Jesus. He's a Jesus freak. They accepted him better when he was on drugs. It's very sick. I know it's true. Isn't it sick? They say, it's the Antichrist. This Antichrist. This Antichrist. I could talk about Mickey Mouse as being my higher power. And they'd say, well, I have his ears. I belong to his fan club. That's right. But I start talking about Jesus. They start saying, he's suspect. He's a bigot. He's a homophobe. He's this. He's a religious fanatic. In Point Shirley, I'm known to be right. That's where I live. I'm running a cult. Yeah. It's Father Tom's cult. I don't hold anybody. But you see, that's what they say. That's okay. Let them say it. As they say in Italian, aspetta. When the time comes, they're going to know where to run. They're going to know. Because when everything gets dark, they'll find their way to my door. Aspetta. Call me what you want. But one day you're going to be knocking on my door. Because you're not going to have food. You're not going to have provisions. You're not going to have money. You say, those things can't happen. Wake up and smell the coffee. Then only can happen, they're going to happen. That's why if we're not rooted in Jesus, when the winds blow and the storm rages, we're going to go with the world and we'll be lost. This is the time of mercy. I want everyone who wants mercy to come up. I'm coming down. I want everyone who wants mercy to come down. Come down and tell the Lord, I want mercy. It's time for mercy. It's not time for judgment. I need the mercy of God. Without the mercy of God, I can't play the game. I need the mercy. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the grace of God. I need the blood to cover me. I need Jesus. It's not what he did in 1980, 1975. It's what he wants to do in this moment, and if you don't let him, he won't do it through you. Anyone who wants mercy, please come.